Slaughter of Palestinians by Israel. Today we'll hear from some voices right here in the DMV. Coming up next. Welcome to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition for July 24th, 2014, here at WPFW 89.3, your station for jazz and justice. On the Ground lifts up voices of activists and activism here in the nation's capital. I'm your host, Esther Averam, joined in the studio today by Michael Byfield, who will take your calls in the second half of the show. Today we'll go to D.C.'s Convention Center, where this week demonstrators confronted attendees of a conference for Christians United for Israel about the mass killing and ongoing siege of the Palestinian people. And we'll speak to Palestinian American editor and activist Amani Al-Khatokba. But first, our headlines. The United Nations top official on human rights said yesterday that Israel's military assault on the Gaza Strip may constitute war crimes for its widespread practice of targeting civilian areas. After 2 weeks of bombing, the Israeli assault has now claimed an estimated 680 Palestinian lives. Nearly 70% of those, according to UN estimates, are believed to be civilians, including nearly 150 children under the age of 16. More on Gaza after headlines. New York Police Department Commissioner Bill Bratton announced yesterday that every member of the department will undergo retraining on the use of force after the death of Eric Garner, a man who died in police custody after being put into a chokehold, a move that has been banned since 1993. Garner's death prompted public outrage and rallies when a viral video showed officers using a chokehold to arrest Garner for allegedly selling cigarettes. Garner, a 43-year-old father of six, was asthmatic. In the video recording of the confrontation, he gasps, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," at least eight times as he is dragged to the ground. The Staten Island District Attorney's Office has launched a criminal investigation into Garner's death. Two NYPD officers were suspended after the incident, including Daniel Pantaleo, who initiated the assault, as well as four EMTs who failed to give Garner proper medical assistance. A Florida judge has denied Marissa Alexander a new self-defense hearing, finding that the recent addition of a warning shot provision in Florida's so-called Stand Your Ground law could not be applied retroactively. Alexander, a survivor of domestic violence who says she fired a warning shot at a wall to fend off her abusive husband, was denied immunity in the first hearing. She was later convicted of aggravated assault and sentenced to 20 years in prison, but the conviction was overturned on appeal. The case will now go to trial, and it will be left to a Florida jury to decide. Meanwhile, in Michigan, jury selection is underway in the trial of Theodore Wafer, the man who shot and killed 19-year-old Renisha McBride when she knocked on his front door after crashing her car a few blocks from Wafer's home. He faces charges of second-degree murder and manslaughter. Wafer's defense has argued that he was scared by McBride's loud knocking and that he shot the unarmed black teenager in self-defense. Prosecutors have pointed out that Wafer, a white man living in a predominantly white suburb outside Detroit, opened his front door and shot McBride at close range through a locked screen door. In Utah, about 21 people were arrested after activists locked themselves to equipment and blockaded construction in the first ever tar sands oil mine in the United States. Utah Sands Resistance said about 80 people joined the action against the mine in the Book Cliffs, which they say threatens to devastate land, water supplies, and the climate. And in other news of environmental activism, the community of South Portland, Maine, made history this week when the city council voted to pass an ordinance that would block Canadian tar sands from being loaded onto tankers and exported from their port. The preemptive measure faced enormous outside pressure from the oil industry, which employed such tactics as astroturf organizing and spending big on consulting, advertising, and get-out-the-vote efforts. On Monday, roughly 300 people turned up to hear the vote. The crowd erupted in applause after the city council announced final passage of the measure. And eating meat is apparently turning up the heat. That's the message from a team of international researchers who just published a study shows that the raising of livestock and consumption of meat, particularly beef, is becoming an increasingly aggressive driver of planetary global warming and climate change. Published this week in the journal Climactic Change and posted in the U.S. Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, the research reveals the alarming increase in global consumption of meat from raised livestock and discovered that beef cattle in particular are releasing more methane and nitrous oxide, both potent greenhouse gases, than previously thought. The city of Detroit is putting a 15-day moratorium on water shutoffs to thousands of households following escalating public protests against what critics charge is a mass-scale human rights violation. The announcement coincided with a lawsuit filed this week with a bankruptcy court charging that the shutoffs violate Detroiters' constitutional rights. Safe water is also in the news in California. State officials have ordered an emergency shutdown of 11 oil and gas waste injection sites and a review of more than 100 others in the state's drought-wracked Central Valley, out of fear that companies may have been pumping fracking fluids and other toxic waste into drinking water aquifers. The state's Division of Oil and Gas and Geothermal Resources issued cease and desist orders to 7 energy companies, warning that they may be injecting their waste into aquifers that could be a source of drinking water, and stating that their waste disposal poses a danger to life, health, property, and natural resources. According to the state order, at least 7 injection wells are likely pumping waste into freshwater aquifers protected by law. And finally, federal officials and law enforcement agents are treating American Muslims like terrorists in waiting, according to a new report released Monday by Human Rights Watch and Columbia Law School's Human Rights Institute. The FBI, under pressure to appear effective and worthy of its $8.4 billion budget, has targeted American Muslims in abusive counterterrorism sting operations based on religious and ethnic identity, according to the study entitled Illusion of Justice, Human Rights Abuses in U.S. Terrorism Protections. Well, that final news item will segue into our culture and media moment. A new documentary, The Newburgh Sting, currently being shown on HBO and HBO On Demand, explores the controversial case of the Newburgh Four. The four men from Newburgh, New York, are charged with plotting to bomb a synagogue and Jewish community center in the Bronx, but no bombing took place. And defense attorneys argue that the men were entrapped by government agents. Here's a brief trailer for The Newburgh Sting.
This is a small city just soaking and drowning in poverty. Somebody offers you a large chunk of change, what do we got to do?
This operation was specifically designed to turn them into terrorists.
You read what you want to read. You believe what you want to believe. I know my child.
This is not a game. This is real life. How could you prey on your own American people?
Once you see something like that, you can't unsee it.
Those were sounds from the trailer for The Newburgh Sting, playing on HBO and HBO On Demand. Wrapping up culture and media, Comedy Central's Jon Stewart made a few waves this week when he actually criticized Israel's attack on Gaza on his fake news show. Stewart has been notorious for being non-critical of Israel in the past. Closer to home in culture and media, we went out to Artscape in Baltimore on Sunday and met Regina Holiday, a painter who is founder of The Walking Gallery. Holiday is using her art to draw attention to the healthcare crisis and the needs of patients in the United States. Members of the Walking Gallery are patients who wear a suit jacket with a painting on the back that describes the state of their health.
Why I joined this whole world of healthcare was I was a toy store clerk and a preschool art teacher when my husband got cancer. And he was hospitalized for 11 weeks in 5 facilities in Maryland and Washington, D.C. The 12th week he died. We saw so many problems with the care model, the way it's currently designed, that even when he was still living, we made a decision to start advocating for other people to get data access information, better hygiene in hospitals, just better general treatment. And I began painting about it. We are a loose confederation of people who all believe the patient's story must be front and center.
That was Regina Holiday, and her project, The Walking Gallery, is online at reginaholiday.blogspot.com and on social media sites. Also at Artscape, we ran into members of I Would, But It's My Skate Night, a lively group of adult roller skaters who were performing on Charles Street, and they're carrying on the tradition of urban roller skating. We spoke to the group's founder, Lawrence Moore.
Basically, it's called I Would But It's My Skate Night. It's my skate night for short. And basically what we're trying to do is promote urban roller skating in the community. We skate at Shake and Bake, Hot Skates, general rinks like that around in the area. But a lot of times people don't know that it's a very close-knit community, and we want to bring that out to the masses. And what better way than to bring it out to Artscape and have everybody enjoy our entertainment that we love so much. And if you can check us out on www.itsmyskatenight.com, okay? And Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those, It's My Skate Night.
Okay, those are our headlines and our moments of culture and media for today. When we come back, raising our voices here in the nation's capital against the slaughter of Palestinians in Gaza. We'll be right back. Well, that was the No BS Brass Band playing on Sunday at Artscape in Baltimore. Welcome back to the Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition. Well, you may not know it based on what is covered in the U.S. corporate media, but hundreds of thousands of demonstrators have taken to the streets across the globe to protect against the ongoing massacre of Palestinians in Gaza. One of the largest demonstrations was in London on Saturday, when up to 100,000 people marched from the Prime Minister's residence at 10 Downing Street across town to Kensington, where the Israeli consulate is located. Other demonstrations were held in France, Turkey, Chile, and in South Africa. Protests continued this week across the U.S. and in Canada, in addition to Middle Eastern cities and in Asia. As we speak today, protesters against the ongoing siege of the Palestinian people are inside the U.S. Capitol visiting members of Congress, which unanimously approved a resolution in support of Israel. On Monday, that same group, a coalition including Jewish Voice for Peace, Code Pink, and other groups, protested outside and disrupted the program inside of D.C.'s Convention Center, where the ultra-right-wing group Christians United for Israel was meeting. We'll hear three voices from the rally, including Asantewa Nkrumah Touré, followed by Medea Benjamin and the Reverend Graylin Hagler, who visited Gaza earlier this year.
My name is Asantewa, and I'm here to show my unconditional and uncompromising support and solidarity with the people of Palestine, and in particular those who have been murdered by the Zionist regime for the past over 1 week.
What do you think in particular about this organization and this event tonight? They're honoring Israel.
Well, first of all, the notion of Christian Zionism is so false and unbelievable, it's absurd. Secondly, as you can see from my sign, a Christian Zionist is a fake Christian. Zion in the Bible, if you really have read your Bible, Zion in the Bible does not refer to stealing another people's land. Zion in the Bible is a metaphor for having a higher relationship with God. So any kind of Zionism, whether it be in the name of Judaism or in the name of Christianity, it's a fake Christianity, it's a fake Judaism. Zionism began with a man who did not even agree or did not even believe God existed, Theodore Herzl. He himself was an atheist. So I think we've reached a critical point in the Palestine Solidarity Movement. And lastly, I would say it's time for everybody to get off the fence. It's time for African people who claim to be for justice and human rights and civil rights to state their position on Palestine. That means we must ask the children of Dr. Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King, what is your position about Palestine, given that Dr. King took a courageous position against the U.S. war against Vietnam? We need to ask the same question of Malcolm X children Malcolm X wrote an article called Zionist Logic in 1964. We need to ask all of our civil rights leaders, Reverend Al Sharpton, the National Urban League, the NAACP, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, all these feminist organizations, such as the National Organization for Women, etc. We need to ask all of them and get them on record. What is your position on Zionism? What is your position on Palestine? And come out here and join us in one of these protests.
And we want to hear from somebody who's a reverend, because this place is supposed to be full of religious people, full of Christians. But I think we've got a real Christian out here who can tell us what God and the Bible would say about the massacre that's going on now, and that's Reverend Graylin Hagler.
Thank you, Medea. One thing I want to make clear, what is going on in that hall has nothing to do with the God that I know. Has nothing to do with the God that respects and protects life, does not discriminate, does not degradate, and does not condone murder, and does not condone terrorism. I was in the West Bank in January. We went with an all-black delegation into the West Bank. And what everybody immediately saw was that there was a practice that was going on by the Israelis against the Palestinians that looked like very much like Jim Crow in the South, like apartheid in South Africa, and like a Holocaust that was gone on in Europe. And I said it then, and I say it now. You cannot justify carrying out a Holocaust against somebody else because you've been through a Holocaust. In fact, you should know better. You should know what pain is like. You should know what death is like. And you should not wish that or carry that out on another human being. Because you see, we got to stand up and step up and be about peace and creating unity in this world and understanding in this world. And understanding is not created by a separation wall. It's not created by rationing off water so that people can be thirsty and not be able to take care of basic needs. It's not carried out by having the military occupy and treat everybody in the land, every Palestinian, as if they're subhuman. You see, what is going on in here has nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with religion. This is just a political exploitation of folk who do not understand the theology of the scriptures. The theology of the scriptures that calls for justice. The theology of the scriptures that calls for welcoming the stranger into your home. The theology of the scripture that says, is not this the fast that I choose? To unloose the bonds of wickedness and to let the oppressed go free? That's the text that everybody's ignoring. They're ignoring that text where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor and recovery of sight to those who are blind. That's what you're doing out here when you're standing up and witness. You're talking to folks who are blind. It also says, freedom for the oppressed. Hear that? Freedom for the oppressed, and to announce that this is the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. You know, folks don't understand that scripture because they only want to carry out their own political will and allow themselves to be manipulated by what somebody stands up and tell them is the truth. Now, I'm so sad to see so many people of color going into this hall. If they only knew what you know, if they only knew what I know, they would be ashamed to be going inside this hall today. The fact is, doing good. Step away, my bro. Step away. This is the kind of intimidation. You know what he doesn't understand? Is I'm too old and ornery to get intimidated.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a Christian.
When I was in hip coming at me with automatic weapons, wanting to see my papers. Wanting to see my papers. You know where they were from? They were from Chicago, and they were from Rockville. And I couldn't for the life of me show them my papers. I had to ask them, why do you want to see my papers? You know what they said? Because Arabs are not allowed on this road. If you want to know what went on in Hebron, what went on in Hebron is that the troops that have occupied Hebron has jacked up kids, have jacked up teenagers, have jacked up grandmothers and mothers. They have jacked up people wholesale all over the land. And you're going to sit there and be surprised that people are upset and angry? You know, you can't just continue to go on and practice injustice and hatred and expect someone to turn around and love you? What kind of ludicrous logic is that? You know, the fact is, yes, we want justice, yes, we want peace, but peace doesn't come unless you have justice. If Jews can have the right of return, Palestinians should have the right of return. You cannot talk about even a two-state solution when you got illegal settlements all over the occupied territory. You can't begin to talk about that. You know, the fact is the media lies and use half-truths and sit there and they play and they pander to what they think the audience want to hear instead of doing what journalists are supposed to do, and that is to tell the truth, to ask the hard questions, to put all of everybody under the kinds of journalistic interrogation that we would expect. The fact is, they don't do it. Not right now, but I got news for you. And Medea and others like Jewish Voice for Peace have continued to stand out, have continued to stand up. Folks are beginning to break the silence. Folks are coming together. It's coming together not in a spirit of hatred towards anybody, because we don't hate anybody. We don't hate Jews. We don't hate Palestinians. We don't hate anybody. That is against my own kinds of moral values. Right? It's got to be about loving everybody. But sometimes you got to stand up even against those you love when they're not doing the right thing and remind them that in order to save themselves, they got to do the right thing rather than build a paradigm that begins to destroy their soul, their dignity, and takes away their peace by robbing others of peace. But it's got to be built upon love. You see, because we can't be what's in that hall. If we're just standing up here filled with hate and hostility, we're not going to go anywhere. But I know a God that will anoint our movement if we're filled with love, if we're filled with joy, if we're filled with respect. I know a God that will build up this movement and bring, yes, BDS. BDS. Folks say, what does BDS have to do with it? I'm glad the United Church of Christ has endorsed BDS. I'm glad the Presbyterian Church has endorsed BDS. I'm glad that Christians are waking up and Christians are saying, no, you're not going to do this in my name any longer. And you're not going to do this and claim it's of my faith. And also, Jewish groups that are standing up, like against SodaStream, and holding on vigils and educating the public. The fact is, what we're beginning to see is people waking up to a consciousness of love and of justice, of saying we're going to recreate the world, not in the way the world has been created by greedy folks and by Republicans and by anybody else. We're going to create a world that's built on the principle of love and mutual respect and dignity. That's what we're going to do. But we're going to roll it forward until justice comes. We're going to roll it forward until justice happens. We're going to stand out and witness to all eyes see, to everybody understand what we're about and what we have to do. What we have to do is move and roll this movement on. Roll it on. Roll it on. Roll it on. End the occupation. End the occupation.
You're listening to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition, and we just heard voices from our protests this week against the attack on Gaza. The last voice you heard was the Reverend Graylin Hagler, pastor of Plymouth Congregational Church, who also recently announced his candidacy for an at-large seat on the D.C. City Council. When we come back, we'll speak to a Palestinian-American woman who was at that rally, as well as at other rallies this week, and we will prepare to take your calls at the bottom of the hour at 202-588-0893. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition, where we lift the voices of social justice and activism here in the nation's capital. I'm Esther Avaram, and our guest for this segment is Amani Alkatopa, founder and editor-in-chief of MuslimGirl.net. Her family is Palestinian, and she was born and raised in New Jersey, considers herself a Jersey girl. Welcome to WPFW, Amani.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Now, you said at the rally Monday that you're a Jersey girl through and through, like I just said, but that you were made to feel like an alien in the United States where you were born. You know, tell us what you meant by that and by your conflict over the use of your tax dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just yesterday, I was at this coffee event with Senator Cory Booker, who's one of the senators from New Jersey. And during the Q&A session, you know, he was answering questions from a lot of Israeli attendees that were there. And during that time, he constantly reaffirmed his support for Israel and its right to self-defense, etc. And he didn't call on me to ask my question, but what I really wanted to say was that I am also a constituent of his. You know, I am an American. I was born and raised in Jersey. And he needs to represent me, too. I'm a Palestinian-American. And I feel completely left out of that narrative, as do many Palestinian-Americans, Arab-Americans, and Muslim-Americans across the board, as well as other minorities that have gotten caught up in the post-9/11 Islamophobia that's kind of hit us over the past decade. So, really, we feel like we're very alienated, especially after seeing all the massacres taking place in Gaza right now, knowing that we are contributing to those massacres, the killing of our own people, and we feel helpless, you know? We feel like our government really is not including us.
And I'm curious, you know, you're having this experience in this country, but how does what you're experiencing compare to Palestinians you know from other parts of the diaspora, for example, in Europe? I mean, because I understand that reporting on the conflict is very different here in the U.S. as opposed to what people hear and see in Europe.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be the one to judge that. I mean, if you look at France, for example, France became the first country in the world to ban pro-Palestine rallies. But we also see that in other parts of the world, there is a much more accurate media representation, I feel, than we have here in America. You know, CNN had a poll the other day saying that around 70% of Americans were in support of Israel's military operation in Gaza. And of course, you're going to get a poll like that, given the media representation of what's going on. You know, the way that we frame the conflict is extremely problematic and extremely inaccurate. But there's a reason why millions of people around the world, from every walk of life, in every country, have taken to the streets protesting what's going on, showing their support, rallying for Palestine. So honestly, I feel like right now we're in the middle of a shifting narrative. Even here in America, there has been, I've seen, like, kind of a shift in the dialogue when it comes to media coverage of Palestine. We're seeing a lot more headlines about Palestinian casualties. We're seeing a lot more criticism of Israel's current campaign, and that's something that's kind of unprecedented, I feel.
Well, we're going to go to a brief break right now, but when we come back, I know that just like you went to the Cory Booker event, you went to a Stand Strong for Israel event, and I want you to tell us what happened there. And I want you to tell us, you know, why you went, because you know, you knew what could happen, mm-hmm. right? So we're going to take a little break right now, and then we'll be right back.
موجود العلم محطوط مربوط فكرة ان احنا شعب محروم جرب هموم بس لا طري المزود بلا ما يكون مفهوم انه محكوم من حكام اللي تدوم عشان اطفالنا تموت واحنا نقول قضاء وقدر بس كنت بزيد الخطر والله سطر في جزء عنده وعي سياسي
وناديكم
تعالوا معي قبل ما تزيد على عميد ورأي النعي امان والله حماني انساني مش تعباني زي باقي الناس لا بتحكي لا بتسمع بس مهما الزمن دار الوطن رح يرجع
الجيل الثالث يطلع اسرائيل يا اخي الوقت بنسيش بل بالعكس بيزيد تاريخ امار
سكوت وسكون بتناس ام كف بتناس شو محدود بتناس بتناس بتناس
لك الجيل الثالث يطلع اسرائيل يا اخي الوقت بنسيش بل بالعكس بيزيد تاريخ امار سكوت وسكون بتناس
ام كف Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning. Hotep to you, the guest, the PSW listening audience. Listen, the so-called Jews or Israelis that are there now, we all know by now that they're nothing but imposters. They are put in that land by banksters and industrialist families who we know some of the names of these families are. It's just a few of them. And they have a worldwide genocidal plan to complete colonial manifest destiny against the people of the land. Now, as while they're killing through war and through outright murder the Palestinian people, we must not forget the quiet eugenics sterilization program that are going on against the real or true Israelite called the Ethiopians in the land over there, where they got sterilization programs that are forcing the Ethiopians and other African women over there to kill their unborn child or either prevent them from having children in this land. So the land itself was called Northeast Africa. And these people of the Africans that are there now, including Brother Ben Ami and the Black Hebrew Israelites, they are the original sovereign inheritors of that land from Africa. Now, we can continue this fight all day long because these are two people that are descendants of Romans, descendants of Greeks, descendants of Eastern Europeans, fighting over a land that belonged to the indigenous black people from Africa.
Thank you so much, Tahuti.
I mean, we can get into discussions all day about who the land belongs to and, you know, where in history it belongs to this people and that people, but what the matter of fact is right now is that we have a population that was populating the land of Palestine that has been consistently ethnically cleansed in order to make way for the creation of Israel. And right now with the massacres taking place in Gaza, the indiscriminate bombing of the most densely populated territory in the world And the UN estimating that 70% of those killed, of those casualties, are civilians, women, children. It's quite clear that, like John Kerry got caught saying, it really is not a pinpoint operation. And that's something that we need to be concerned with. And also, I think it's very important for any discussion about the conflict right now to make a serious distinction between Jews and Zionists, because this is not a religious conflict, and it's not between Jews and Muslims. There's no problem with Jews or Judaism. It's really about Zionism, which, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many people that I've spoken with, kind of is doing to Judaism what Al-Qaeda has been doing to Islam. It's kind of been perverting the teachings of the religion in order to create this political movement that is extremely detrimental and harmful, and that's where our concern lies.
I'd like to go back to, there was a question that Esther had asked before she left. You had attended a rally, I think it was a pro-Israeli mm-hmm. rally, and what your experience was at that event?
Yeah, it was actually quite terrifying. So there was a Stand With Israel rally about a week ago, and a couple of friends and I decided to come by to see what was going on, see what they were saying, how the turnout was. When we got there, we realized that there are counter-protesters already there from Code Pink, which has been an awesome organization on the ground, really organizing a lot of stuff around the Palestinian cause over the last few weeks. We started making our way towards Code Pink, and along the way, people were already shouting things at me, like, oh, go die, go kill yourselves, etc. We got to where Code Pink was standing, and I was just standing beside one of the women. One of them was holding a megaphone, and she was singing a song for Gaza in the megaphone. And then this older Israeli gentleman walked up to her and then started taking the megaphone and shoving it in her face. You know, like the woman kept having to like move back because she was about to get hit in the face with it. So I started to pull out my phone so I can record it and get some evidence. And the man, when he saw that I was pulling out my phone, immediately turned his attention to me. And then he started hitting me. He was hitting me, cursing at me, and he hit me so hard that the bracelet ripped off my wrist, and people weren't doing anything to stop him. I thought that I was recording the entire thing. I had my camera and everything, but I guess he was hitting me so hard that I didn't get the chance to click the record button, and the people around him were all, you know, joining in on the onslaught and calling me slurs, both in Hebrew and in English, and, you know, not even the police that I walked up to were willing to help me or help me file a police report. So it was really a terrifying situation for anyone to be in.
Wow. We have a caller on the line.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tessa.
Yeah, good Hi. Morning. One has to be honest with oneself and honest with the electorate. The Israeli right wing is not honest with itself and not honest with the Israeli electorate. It is running on emotion to get office, to keep office. To be honest with itself, it accuses the Palestinian side to be extremist. Not all Palestinians, but the ones in Gaza to be extremist. If it is extremist, the Israeli officials has to be able to isolate it. Instead, they are not isolating it, they are being isolated. There is something seriously wrong with their approach. Their approach has to be one, to live with people in the region in peace and in accepting each other, and also creating peace and love with the whole humanity. And now, what was said about the Ethiopian Jews is true. They were being sterilized. The Israeli right wing is lying to itself and is lying to humanity. War is not the answer. The answer is love, peace, and having a different approach.
Okay. I will just let you respond to that.
No, I mean, I don't think that any of us could disagree that the electorate is being misled. I mean, Israel right now is relying on a very heavily propagandized campaign to try and continue its current onslaught in Gaza. I mean, Israel has even resorted to paying people to defend Israel's actions on social media, on the internet. So really, that's the level of desperation and cover-up that Israel has reduced itself to in order to try and justify the current campaign. And, you know, when you have... Even in Gaza right now, they have banned any journalists from entering Gaza anymore. Just yesterday, I think, or like 2 days ago, they had to evacuate the entire Al Jazeera borough in Gaza because it was under the threat of bombing. So when a country needs to rely on silencing the narrative, completely manipulating the narrative, and, you know, going, even stooping to the level of banning journalism, that's really when you can tell that the narrative is truly slipping. And, you know, it's inevitable that, you know, the world will wake up eventually to what's happening in Palestine. And I think that's what we can see with media coverage of the conflict right now.
Do you think the boycott sanctions divestment movement can be effective?
Absolutely. Honestly, I think that BDS is the most surefire nonviolent way of protest that we can use to try and get Israel to comply with international law and to stop violating the basic human rights of Palestinians. I mean, this was a tactic that was employed during apartheid South Africa, and right now we see that it's had a huge impact on Israel. So far, it's cost the economy of Israel billions of dollars, and even a finance minister just about a week ago, there was an article saying that he was quite concerned with BDS. And when you look at all of the counter movements against BDS that are coming out of Israel and the pro-Israel camp, the country wouldn't be pouring in that much money and energy into countering the BDS movement if it wasn't truly a threat. And I think that a lot of people need to turn to BDS and not discount it for the powerful tactic that it is.
Okay, I'd like to remind our listeners that we're at the underground edition of Community Watch and Comment, and participation is certainly appreciated. We are keeping the fire burning in terms of the current activity that's happening in Gaza, in Palestine, and your comment is certainly appreciated. Caller, please say your name.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Your name, sir?
Yeah, well, you know, here in America, the black man had the same problem while people stood by and did nothing. So maybe the world, the people that see what's going on in Israel can help the black man in America get himself organized because he is a great leader. So we have to bond together rather than just ignoring we have a problem here in America with our people, you know. So maybe we can get a bond going on to help us realize that we are great people. We need help just like the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my question here. We need to bond. Thank you.
Thank you. Caller?
Yes.
Your name, please? Your name, sir.
How you doing?
Excellent. And yourself?
I'm pretty good, except for this discussion. What's going on in Israel? I think I was calling just to say that I think... One issue I would like to address is the saying or the statements that say that Israel is defending itself. And I think why I'm bringing this up because you hear even President Obama and any U.S. government officials when they speak about the situation, they always start or begin by saying Israel has the right to defend itself. And I think they're doing that over and over again because they need to create the legal ground so that you know, the war crimes would be hard to prove, if you will. And so I think folks who are protesting against the actions that Israel's taking against Gaza, I think we all need to just join together and begin to tweet and Facebook and social media, you know, the fact that Israel is not defending itself.
Mm-hmm.
It never was defending itself. It never had to defend itself because Palestinians have never attack Israel, and these rockets from Hamas clearly are not attacking Israel. So, and that's not a reason to go to war in the first place, you know, if it were, because we spent a lot of U.S. tax dollars paying for that Iron Dome situation or mechanism for us to even think that, you know, Hamas rockets could be grounds for going to war or cause Israel to be to prove it's trying to defend itself. So I think that's important to put on the table. Mm-hmm. And at some point, clarify to a lot of U.S. Citizens and Christians alike who actually still think and feel that Israel, you know, the Holy Land, or that if you go against what Israel does, that you are going against God's chosen people. That may be a deeper discussion, but I'll just stick with the fact that they are not defending themselves.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I would want to start my response by saying that the American Black community, members of it, have been our strongest allies for the pro-Palestine community. And actually, I feel like the American pro-Palestine movement has looked to the civil rights movement for a lot of inspiration in how to get our message across, and, you know, in the tactics that are effective, and how we can try to defend the human rights of another people from here. And absolutely, solidarity is needed. I mean, I don't think that anything can happen to benefit Palestine if solidarity does not happen across the board between all communities, because this isn't an Arab issue. This is a human rights issue. This is an issue that affects everyone. And, you know, like Nelson Mandela said, our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of Palestinians. And that's something that I feel like should unite everyone across the board. And not just for Palestine, but hopefully these same people that are concerned for Palestine and civil rights here at home also are going to be waking up and defending those basic human rights for people all across the world that have to come under these horrible atrocities and violations that they're experiencing right now. And in regards to Israel's self-defense, I mean, it's quite clear that Israel is not defending itself. I mean, defending itself against what, right? I mean, when the current operation started, there were, at one point, there were still zero Israeli casualties, while there were 200 Palestinian casualties. Then we had one Israeli casualty that was hit by a rocket, and then this ground invasion started, and now we're seeing more casualties on the ground. But I think the Palestinian count has surpassed 700 this morning. And it's extremely problematic. It's very disproportionate, the amount of force that we're seeing from both sides. I mean, we have an occupying force basically laying siege to an occupied people. And, you know, how are you supposed to cover that up and claim self-defense for that? We have a country that is supported with American tax dollars, has some of the best weaponry and technology that the world can offer right now. And then we have Palestinians who are unarmed. We have Hamas throwing makeshift rockets into Israel's border, but Israel's using illegal weapons like white phosphorus on the civilian population, which is so densely populated that guaranteed you're going to be hitting civilians no matter what. So we really can't claim self-defense anymore. That's not what this is.
Caller, your name, please.
Hello?
Hello, may I have your name, please?
Yes, my name is Madinato.
Hi.
Hello, good afternoon, or rather, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What needs to happen for every American citizen, not just American, but the world at large, is to adopt every Palestinian as one of our own members of the family to carry their case to protest in their name. This must end. And the issue is the issue of racism and white supremacy. This racism needs to end all over the world. We need to choose life. We need to say yes to life and no to death. Israelis, their life is no more valuable than the life of the Palestinians.
Absolutely.
Please, everybody that can hear my voice, find the name of the Palestinians, the people of Palestine, and adopt them as one of your very own family. Carry their bodies on your back. What happened to them happened to you. What happened to them happened to you. Please. Please, we can't sit by and all of us people are mentioning. It is time to take action. What you can do, do. Please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Caller, your name, please.
Hagwas, H-A-G-U-S.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I beg every listener to Google National Geographic January 2013. It is called ngm.com, National Geographic .com, January 2013. Human beings spread from Ethiopia, what is called by the Romans and Greeks Africa, which Africa means good for nothing and so on, and spread from there to what is called now Israel and Palestine, and then Europe, and this to what is called now North America and South America and so on. There was never a human race called black, Jew, white, etc. These who call themselves Jew are nothing but Satan's recruits in order to spread Satan's kingdom on this planet Earth. Judeo-Christian means justice denied by Caucasians. The reason they dropped the God-given name of Emmanuel and his parents' name Yeshua ben Yosef and carried on Jesus Christ means justice denied by Caucasians.
Thank you. Caller, your name please.
Yes, my name's Cliff.
Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning. I wanted to call because I feel there's been a lack in Pacifica or WPFW coverage in the sense of the relationship of international law to Palestine. Even Democracy Now! Does not bring this up, and I think it'd be great to have a program in which you'd have an expert on international law talk about that it is illegal under international law to occupy another land. Mm-hmm. It is illegal to have settlements on that land. Mm-hmm. It is illegal for these war crimes into Gaza. It is legal for the Palestinians to resist occupation mm-hmm. and the settlements, even using arms. In other words, it is legal for them to use their rockets, to use slingshots, to use stones, etc. And I really think that this should be clarified, that Israel is totally in the wrong on the business of how they treat Palestinians and the occupation and settlements of their land. And it'd be great to have an expert on international law to appear on WPFW.
Thank you so much. Certainly appreciate your comment on that. Well, that brings us to a close. We certainly appreciate your participation. This is the Community Comment Underground Edition. Stay tuned. Askia Mohammed will be coming on. Thank you.